What do you think about abortion? I'm pro-life. Ugh. What do you do from there? What do you do when somebody tells you that that they're already pro-life? When you're asking people at outreach or elsewhere what they think about abortion, high fives and hugs are great, but here is a little bit more on what you can do when somebody says that they are already pro-life. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Welcome back to all of you that have been longtime listeners or maybe even short-time listeners. And welcome to all of you who are a first-time listener. I hope that you will stick around and enjoy some of this content. Often, obviously, on this show, we are talking about how to engage abortion advocates, how to respond to difficult circumstances or other justifications, how to talk about the humanity of preborn children and other similar content like that. Today, we're going to go somewhat different, but somewhat similar in that I'm sure that I am not the only person to have frozen up after I asked the question, what do you think about abortion, to be told that they are pro-life already. We don't meet nearly enough pro-life people, and often we have no idea what we're supposed to do when we talk to a pro-life person. And so that's what today is all about. What do you do when somebody tells you that they are pro-life? I want to give you four tools that all, it's not alliteration, it's not a sonance, I don't even know what you would call it, but if there's a mnemonic for it, we are going to do affirmation, confirmation, motivation, activation. And so I'm going to break down each of the four of these steps for what we can do when somebody tells us that they are pro-life. Number one, affirmation. Affirmation. I want to kick off, especially when somebody tells me that they're pro-life, but I would argue even if they tell me that they are against abortion in any way, if they tell me, you know what, I think abortion's okay before this time or in these situations, I think starting with some degree of affirmation can be meaningful in that everybody loves being affirmed. Everyone loves being knowing what's right and what's wrong and knowing when they've given a good answer or a bad answer. And so if somebody tells me, hey, I think abortion should only be allowed or should be allowed up until baby's heart starts beating or up until the second trimester or whatever, I want to start with like a, you know, that's awesome. That's way better than what we have in Canada. That is way better than abortion being accessible through all 9 months of pregnancy like it is in Canada. I agree with you. And then I'm going to go into the common ground analogy question after that. But I think affirmation can show our hand, and people have a subconscious yearning for acceptance. They want to be accepted. They love being accepted. They're not fully accepted in my books until they are fully pro-life in some ways. And hopefully you get what I'm joking about. Obviously they are fully accepted and I love and honor them and want the best for them, regardless of whether they agree with me on abortion or not. I'm going to try to draw them towards that perspective because I care about them as well. They're not just a means to an end, but an end in themselves and all that stuff that I'm sure theologians can say far better than I can. However, if I ask, what do you think about abortion? They say to me that they are pro-life. I want to say, that's so cool. That's awesome that you are against abortion. Something short like that. That is so cool. You have answered correctly. Bing, bing, bing. You have answered correctly that you are pro-life. That is great. But I'm going to flow really quickly into number two, the confirmation. And so we could agree then that abortion is a human rights violation in all circumstances, or are there any circumstances in which you think abortion might be okay? I want to confirm with them that they are actually indeed pro-life, because the number of times I have asked that question and had somebody respond with a, oh, maybe in the case of mother's life being in danger, or maybe in sexual assault, or maybe this, or maybe that. If I skip the affirmation in particular, I find that, okay, maybe I didn't answer that right. What do you think about abortion? Oh, I'm pro-life. In all circumstances? Oh no. Now I don't know if I'm answering right or wrong. I don't know what this person wants me to say. What do I do? We don't want that. We want them to know where we're leading them. We want them to be clear as to who we are. We want transparency, all that kind of stuff. So affirmation first. That's awesome. That's so cool that you're pro-life. We're pro-life too. Could we agree that abortion's a human rights violation in all situations? If they say no, it should be allowed in XYZ, then you're going to do what you normally do. Common ground knowledge question, human rights argument, human plus X, age-based discrimination, all that kind of stuff. You're going to do it like a normal pro-choice conversation. You're still going to be friendly, like you're hopefully friendly with anybody who supports abortion as well. You're not going to try to give them the big sigh like, oh, pro-lifers are the worst. People think they're pro-life, but they're not actually. Or like, how dare you claim the name pro-life? That's not going to be helpful at all. You're still going to want to be friendly. You're still going to want them to know that you're pro-life and that they want to be accepted by you. And that's cool that they want to claim the name pro-life, even if they're not functionally pro-life. But let's say, okay, affirmation, confirmation. We could agree then that abortion is a human rights violation in all circumstances. Yes, I agree with you that abortion is a human rights violation in all circumstances. Cool. Or once you get them to the end of the roadmap and they become fully pro-life, yes, it is a human rights violation in all circumstances. What do you do next? You are going to do what I call motivation, or what others might call education. So motivation or education being bringing them up to speed on the abortion crisis in Canada or wherever you may find yourself in the world. And so, yes, abortion is a human rights violation. And I'm curious, are you familiar with the abortion crisis in Canada? Well, no, I have no idea. I'm not from Canada, explain to me. Or no, I don't really know much about abortion. Or yes, I know everything about abortion. Okay, let's talk for a couple of minutes about just how bonkers abortion is where you live. And if that's Canada, it's a matter of, did you know that abortion is fully legal through all 9 months of pregnancy? That there's no legal restrictions on abortion at all? And that approximately 100,000 preborn children are killed every single year because of abortion. Did you know that? Did you know this is where you can share some of the statistics that you might know? I don't think that there's a requirement on which statistics you share, though I would suggest sharing both the legal situation and the annual volume situation. That you could go beyond that. You could go deeper and more intense. You could talk about 300 preborn children being killed in Canada every single day. And maybe you want to extend that. This is an opportunity for you to impress the magnitude of this crisis upon them. They might know it already. They might say, no, I know this already. I've been involved with pro-life groups in the past. I still want to verbalize it so that it's fresh in their mind. Because if they have become an apathetic pro-lifer who just like knows in the back of their mind the statistics around abortion, then that's a start, but it's not everything. We want to make this not only memorable, reminding them of what they might know, but also human. And so I'm going to share a statistic, I'm going to share the legislation, and I'm going to try to draw their attention towards the victim of abortion, either on my sign, in my pamphlet, whatever opportunity I might have, to make this not just an abstract issue. We did our entire Faces of Abortion tour last year based around the fact that we need to be confronted by the faces of these children, both pro-lifers and abortion advocates, both those outside of our churches and those inside of our churches, to transform the abortion conversation from one which is largely abstract to one which is entirely concrete. Little boys and little girls whose faces will never be featured on mantelpieces or on refrigerators, will never be framed by an awkward haircut or by the chocolate smeared all over it from an ice cream cone, but rather children whose faces were torn apart and thrown into a medical waste bin. A tragic reality that will bring home to them not only the abstract notion of the value of human life, but a very concrete example of both the value of human life and the depravity of the act of abortion. And so I really want to emphasize those three. Maybe I'm going to go even further in depth. I know colleagues of mine and myself as well have at times tried to put meaning behind the statistics and numbers. What does 300 preborn children every day mean? And sometimes we've talked about how, imagine that there were 30 kindergarten classes with 20 kids each. That there were 10 kindergarten classes, doing my math here incorrectly, 10 kindergarten classes with 30 students each that were being killed every single day. Somebody went through and killed every single child in 300 kindergarten kids. However you want to do the math on that, whether that is 10 classes of 30 children or 30 classes of 10 children or whatever, 30 kindergarten children who were tragically killed. And maybe we need to extend it even further, because this is not the case of some deranged school shooter going around and everyone mourns and grieves exactly what is happening. This is not some crazy person that is going into the classes and shooting up wanted children, but rather 300 parents every day pulling their children out of the kindergarten class and bringing them down the road to a center that will intentionally kill them. That this is not the one psychopath, but rather countless parents who have been duped and lied to, willfully ignorant, or tragically malicious in their intent behind this. The reasons why these parents are bringing their children to be killed is something that we can reflect upon. But to help people realize that, how much of an outcry would there be if 300 kindergarten students were shot up in a classroom? How much more horrified would we be if each of those students' own parents came to the classroom and shot them to kill them? How horrified would we be if every one of those parents came in, or 1 in 4 to 1 in 5 parents in the classroom came in and killed their child? And this was happening across the country day after day after day. This is our opportunity to share the most compelling components of the abortion crisis, to really make it real, to really humanize preborn children, and really make real and make present the abortion crisis where you are. Do that through legality, do that through statistics and making those statistics concrete, and more than either of them, with the visual reality of what abortion does to a preborn child, to transcend the abstract together with the concrete. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to motivate them, and then I'm going to activate them. The last step is activation. Have you ever been actively involved in a pro-life organization or movement before? And I don't really care what they say. If they say, yes, I am actively involved in this entity, or if they say, no, I've never been involved before, I am going to ask, would you be willing to do what you can to prevent, draw their attention back down to the image that you're holding, this from happening in the most effective ways that we can? Would you be interested in learning more about how to get involved in changing hearts and minds on the issue? What we're doing this summer, we're going to try to collect as much contact information as we possibly can. Last year, we collected contact information from over 500, I want to say close to 1,000 pro-life people in Western Canada alone. We are hoping to grow that number to well over 1,000 this year. And so whether this is coming through your church, through your family, through your friend group, through the outreach that you are doing, affirmation, that's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that you're pro-life. Confirmation, could we agree that abortion then is a human rights violation in all circumstances? Or do you think there's any time in which abortion could be appropriate? Motivation / education, which is sharing the abortion crisis. And finally, activation, which is giving them an outlet to respond to the motivation that you have just presented them with, that is collecting their contact information. We are going to give them our pamphlet. Likely it's going to have our email address in the back of it, all that kind of thing. As one of the people who responds to emails and gets emails sent in, we get precious few from all of the pamphlets that we hand out. I know that we personally hand out hundreds of pamphlets every single year to pro-life people that we know are pro-life, and we encourage them to contact us, and very few of them ever do. And so we would love the ball to be in our court if we can collect their contact information, their name, their phone number, and their email address. If you have that, please pass it along to your local coordinator who can follow up with them to schedule an apologetics training. We have a wonderful gal in Ontario who is doing a lot of our trainings this summer virtually. Carmela is going to be doing a bunch as well. Kyle and Josh in Winnipeg, and Rachel is going to be doing a bunch. Quan is always doing a million of them. And Jeff, we have a whole team of people who want to meet either in person or even virtually to equip them with the tools they need to change hearts and minds. And from there, we are going to try to get them plugged in with a volunteer team, maybe recruit them to do an internship, attend a crash course, come on full-time staff, whatever it may be. We want to equip and mobilize people as best we possibly can. And that's how we're going to get them there. That telling us that they're pro-life is not good enough. That is, while yes, that might be the image at the end of the roadmap, that is our destination. Usually when we arrive at a destination, we want to do something there, right? That if we're going to walk through the roadmap of addressing their justifications, talking about the humanity, if necessary, talking about the personhood and get them to the pro-life worldview, just like any other roadmap, if you are taking the roadmap to get to a friend or family member's house, if you're getting to Disneyland, or if you're going somewhere that is not a gigantic supporter of abortion, whatever it may be, once you get there, what do? Once you get there, you mobilize, you do stuff, you make it happen. And so we are going to want to make it happen. We need so many more boots on the ground. Our team is absolutely incredible. It's a growing team and it's an exciting team. It is comparatively, I would say, a gigantic team to what it was 5-10 years ago. However, we have so far to go. I look at incredible groups like Protect Life Michigan, Created Equal, those in Ireland as well. I know that we got a few listeners from Ireland, and how gigantic at times their team is, and how well and how thoroughly they can door knock through their communities. And it's absolutely bonkers to read a book like Patriots that Jonathan had written in collaboration with a number of other people from the Irish pro-life movement, and how they knocked on over 1 million doors in the span of a single year. We are celebrating, and I would say rightfully so, we are celebrating 10,000 doors knocked on, 20,000 doors knocked on, which is a far cry above what we used to be able to knock on, and how long it takes to door knock through a neighborhood and all that kind of thing. We have so far to go, so far to go. And we need you, and we need all of the pro-life people that you talk to, all of the people that become pro-life. We need all of them to get there, that there is room for every single person in the pro-life movement. And just so you have it in your back pocket, what's going to happen once they get trained? So they're going to meet generally one-on-one with somebody, either in person or virtually. They're going to get a great training workshop from somebody. If we're able to do the workshop in person, we're going to try to take them out door knocking afterwards so they get a little bit of a taste of how this looks in reality. And then we're going to invite them to one of our mock dialogue calls where they get to practice their conversations. We're also going to plug them in with a local activism group, whether that's with an established community group that's implementing the End the Killing Plan, or whether that's helping them launch a volunteer team of their own, because we don't have anything going on in that area. We are there to help them be as involved as they possibly can be. And that's why the motivation and education is so important, that there's a lot of people who don't want to be actively involved in the pro-life movement. And I can empathize with that. I can empathize with the fact that this is a big step out of a lot of people's comfort zone. That is something that a lot of people don't even know the first thing about. And certainly maybe they've dipped their toe in and have been bitten by that crocodile, and they don't want to go back there again. We got to help them, not just because we have people that are willing and able to help them, but because preborn children desperately need them. Because the tiny boys and girls who are killed day after day after day desperately, desperately need them. And so this isn't about me. This isn't about whether or not I feel capable or qualified or called or whatever. This is about the preborn child that I want to connect myself with, and I want to connect them with, in a way that empowers them to make the sacrifices that they can. Not a question of how much is necessary, but how much is possible. That as we ended many of our Faces of Abortion tour talks with, what would be crazier? To know the crisis of abortion and not act, or to act? I would like to think And I would hope to impress upon everybody that it is crazier to be confronted with the crisis of abortion and to do nothing than to do something, than to do something radical and expansive and incredible and daunting and overwhelming and all that kind of stuff, that it is crazier to be confronted with the reality of abortion and choose to do nothing than to choose to do something. And so that's what I want to invite them into. That's what, by God's grace, I was invited in to be a part of. And that's what many of you here listening and maybe watching on YouTube have been invited into. And we want to extend that invite to others as well. That as much as I might appreciate the speech at the end of King Henry IV by William Shakespeare and how I would not have one other person amongst me because that'd be a dividing the spoils of honor and glory. That's not what this is about. This is not about me. I would welcome countless fellow brothers and sisters in Christ joining me in this conversation and changing hearts and minds, because that's what is truly necessary. And so I hope that makes sense. Affirmation, confirmation, education / motivation, and activation at the end. And so hopefully that makes sense. If you have any questions, hit me up on social media and other places as well. And may God bless you abundantly, wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.